This is For the Record, program number 1120, DARPA and the COVID-19 outbreak, part 2. This is being recorded live on the 12th of March, 2020. And this is, of course, Dave Emery, and we are going to proceed further into and also review in some depth and length some very disturbing aspects of a very disturbing and thought-provoking and very scholarly and well-documented article by Whitney Webbett, W-H-I-P-N-E-Y, last name capital W, E double B. That is a female, by the way. And the publication of the article, I should say, in question is Bats, Gene Editing, and Bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. And this was published on January 30th of this year being 2020. In the first program in the series, I read from a reprint of this article from the UNS Review, a far-right publication. I think from an ideological / rhetorical standpoint, that is of some significance, because I don't think a publication like that would be carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party. There is, by the way, a useful update or comment by Tara Fractal, our contributing editor, that sheds some light on an article, or really a presentation by a Taiwanese virologist. It turns out he's actually a member of a far-right pro reunification party in Taiwan. There is, although you would never know it from American coverage, there is a reunification contingency within the Taiwanese political spectrum, and the individual in question belongs to that. He also was quoting from an article I had seen earlier from the Global Times, which is a Chinese publication. An official government publication. The article of the presentation given by the scientist in considerable measure talks about some of the two types of COVID-19 present in China, and makes inferences that other scientists disagree with. The science of virology and associated genetics is more relativistic in terms of interpretation than one might suspect. I encountered that in connection with research into AIDS some decades ago, and it appears to still be the case. I did not see any of those scientists, with the exception of the Taiwanese scientists, dealing with the issue of the alleged five different haplotypes of COVID-19, nor other aspects of that. But do note that as an addendum to For the Record 1118. I will put a link to that in the written description. Now, this, in terms of ideological and rhetorical significance, again, I don't think an American far-right publication will be carrying water for the Chinese Communist Party. This article, however, was originally published by Whitney Webb in a blog called The Last American Vagabond, V-A-G-A-B-O-N-D. I'm going to recap key parts of that article and the discussion. I'm going to begin, however, by reading the last section of the article and also the conclusion of the article. Then we are going to go back and we are going to review at length, and I will reread at some length from the key portions of that article. Again, the article by Whitney, W-H-I-T-N-E-Y, last name Webb, W-E-B-B, that is a woman, by the way, from the last American Vagabond of January 30th of 2020. Bats, gene editing, and bioweapons. Recent DARPA experiments raise concerns amid coronavirus outbreak. And skipping down into the conclusion about some of the companies that have been selected to develop a vaccine for this virus and their links to various institutions, including and especially DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. Ms. Webb, in her conclusion, and I emphatically encourage listeners to this program to access the written description. There is also a recap of the material in a Food for Thought article that is at the left-hand side of the front page of the SpitfireList.com website. The article is scholarly. The links check out, and it is very, very disturbing indeed. The last section of the next to last section, except for the conclusion. DARPA and its partners choose to develop coronavirus DARPA and its partners chosen to develop coronavirus vaccine. Last Thursday, the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations, or CEPI, from now on I will read that as CEPI, announced that it would fund three separate programs in order to promote the development of a vaccine for the new coronavirus responsible for the current outbreak. CEPI, which describes itself as a, quote, partnership of public, private, philanthropic, and civil organizations that will finance and coordinate the development of vaccines against high-priority public health threats, unquote, was founded in 2017 by the governments of Norway and India, along with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Its massive funding and close connections to public, private, and nonprofit organizations have positioned it to be able to finance the rapid creation of vaccines and to widely distribute those vaccines. CEPI's recent announcement revealed that it would fund two pharmaceutical companies, Inovio, that's I-N-O-V-I-O Pharmaceuticals, and Moderna Incorporated, that's M-O-D-E-R-N-A, as well as Australia's University of Queensland, which became a partner of CEPI early last year. Notably, the two pharmaceutical companies chosen have close ties to and or strategic partnerships with DARPA and are developing vaccines that controversially involve genetic material and or gene editing. The University of Queensland also has ties to DARPA, but those ties are not related to the university's biotechnology research, but instead engineering and missile development. For instance, the top funders of Inovio Pharmaceuticals include both DARPA and the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, and the company has received millions in dollars in grants from DARPA, including a $45 million grant to develop a vaccine for Ebola. Inovio specializes in the creation of DNA immunotherapies and DNA vaccines, which contain genetically engineered DNA that causes the cells of the recipient to produce an antigen and can permanently alter a person's DNA. Inovio previously developed a DNA vaccine for the Zika virus, but to date, no DNA vaccine has been approved for use in humans in the United States. Inovio was also recently awarded over $8 million from the U.S. military to develop a small, portable, intradermal device for delivering DNA vaccines jointly developed by Inovio and the United States Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, or U.S. AMRID. However, the CEPI grant to combat coronavirus may change that, i.e. the fact that no DNA vaccine has been approved for human use. However, the CEPI grant to combat coronavirus may change that, as it specifically funds Inovio's efforts to continue developing its DNA vaccine for the coronavirus that causes MERS. Inovio's MERS vaccine began in 2018 in partnership with CEPI in a deal worth $56 million. The vaccine currently under development uses, quote, Inovio's DNA medicines platform to deliver optimized synthetic antigenic genes into cells where they are translated into protein antigens that activate an individual's immune system, unquote. And the program is partnered with U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases and the National Institutes of Health, among others. That program is currently undergoing testing in the Middle East. Inovio's collaboration with the U.S. military in regards to DNA vaccines is nothing new, as their past efforts to develop a DNA vaccine for both Ebola and Marburg virus were also part of what Inovio's CEO, Dr. Joseph Kim, K-I-M, called, quote, its active biodefense program, unquote, that has, again, quoting, garnered multiple grants from the Department of Defense, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, or NIAID, and other government agencies, unquote. CEPI's interest in increasing its support to this MERS-specific program seems at odds with its beginning again. CEPI's interest in increasing its support to this MERS-specific program seems at odds with its claim that doing so will combat the current coronavirus outbreak, since MERS and the novel coronavirus in question are not analogous, and treatments for certain coronaviruses have been shown to be ineffective against other strains. It is also worth noting that Inovio Pharmaceuticals was the only company selected by CEPI with direct access to the Chinese pharmaceutical market through its partnership with China's Apollo Bio Corporation, which currently has an exclusive license to sell Inovio-made DNA immunotherapy products to Chinese customers. That last sentence again. Because, as we have seen, there is a direct USAMRIID link to a virology institute in Wuhan, which appears to be the epicenter of the outbreak. And again, USAMRIID involved with biological warfare research, and they were closed. Their facility at Fort Detrick in Maryland was closed down by the CDC for major safety violations. That was in early August of 2019. One more time. CEPI's interest in increasing its support to this MERS specific program, i.e. by Inovio, seems at odds with its claim that doing so will combat the current coronavirus outbreak, since MERS and the novel coronavirus in question are not analogous, and treatments for certain coronaviruses have been shown to be ineffective against other strains. It is also worth noting that Inovio Pharmaceuticals was the only company selected by CEPI with direct access to the Chinese pharmaceutical market through its partnership with China's Apollo Bio Corporation, which currently has an exclusive license to sell Inovio-made DNA immunotherapy products to Chinese consumers. The second pharmaceutical company that was selected by CEPI to develop a vaccine for the new coronavirus is Moderna, capital M-O-D-E-R-N-A, Incorporated, which will develop a vaccine for the novel coronavirus of concern in collaboration with the U.S. National Institutes of Health and which will be funded entirely by CEPI. The vaccine in question, as opposed to Inovio's DNA vaccine, will be a messenger RNA or mRNA vaccine. Though different than a DNA vaccine, mRNA vaccines still use genetic material, quote, to direct the body's cells to produce intracellular membrane or secreted proteins, unquote. Moderna's mRNA treatments, including its mRNA vaccines, were largely developed using a $25 million grant from DARPA, and it often touts its strategic alliance with DARPA in press releases. Moderna's past and ongoing research efforts have included developing mRNA vaccines tailored to an individual's unique DNA, as well as an unsuccessful effort to create an mRNA vaccine for the Zika virus, which was funded by the U.S. government. Both DNA and mRNA vaccines involve the introduction of foreign and engineered genetic material into a person's cells, and past studies have found that such vaccines, quote, possess significant unpredictability and a number of inherent harmful potential hazards, unquote. And that, again, quoting, there is inadequate knowledge to define either the probability of unintended events or the consequences of genetic modifications, unquote. Nonetheless, the climate of fear surrounding the coronavirus outbreak could be enough for the public and private sector to develop and distribute such controversial treatments due to fear about the epidemic potential of the current outbreak. However, the therapies being developed by Inovio, Moderna, and the University of Queensland are in alignment with DARPA's objectives regarding gene editing and vaccine technology. For instance, in 2015, DARPA geneticist Colonel Daniel Wattendorf, W-A-T-T-E-N-D-O-R-F, described how the agency was interested in a quote, was investigating a quote, new method of vaccine production that would involve giving the body instructions for making certain antibodies. Because the body would be its own bioreactor, the vaccine could be produced much faster than the traditional methods, and the result would be a higher level of protection. Again, however, the therapies being developed by Inovio, Moderna, and the University of Queensland are in alignment with DARPA's objectives regarding gene editing and vaccine technology. For instance, in 2015, DARPA geneticist Colonel Daniel Wattendorf described how the agency was investigating a, quote, new method of vaccine production that would involve giving the body instructions for making certain antibodies. Because the body would be its own bioreactor, the vaccine could be produced much faster than traditional methods, and the result would be a higher level of protection, unquote. According to media reports on Wattendorf's statements at the time, the vaccine would be developed as follows, quote, scientists would harvest viral antibodies from someone who has recovered from a disease such as flu or Ebola. After testing the antibodies' ability to neutralize viruses in a petri dish, they would isolate the most effective one, determine the genes needed to make that antibody, and then encode many copies of those genes into a circular snippet of genetic material, either DNA or RNA, that the person's body would then use as a cookbook to assemble the antibody, unquote. Though Wattendorf asserted that the effects of these vaccines would not be permanent, DARPA has since been promoting permanent gene modifications as a means of protecting U.S. troops from biological weapons and infectious disease. Why is DARPA doing this? To protect a soldier on the battlefield from chemical weapons and biological weapons by controlling their genome, having the genome produce proteins that would automatically protect the soldier from the inside out, unquote. then DARPA Director Steve Walker, now with Lockheed Martin, said this past September of the project known as Safe Genes, unquote. And then Whitney Webb presents her conclusion. Research conducted by the Pentagon and DARPA specifically has continually raised concerns not just in the field of bioweapons and biotechnology, but also in the fields of nanotechnology, robotics, and several others. DARPA, for instance, has been developing a series of unsettling research projects that ranges from microchips that can create and delete memories from the human brain to voting machine software that is rife with problems. Now, as fear regarding the current coronavirus outbreak begins to peak, companies with direct ties to DARPA have been tasked with developing its vaccine, the long-term human and environmental impacts of which are unknown and will remain unknown by the time the vaccine is expected to go to market in a few weeks' time. Furthermore, DARPA and the Pentagon's past history with bioweapons and their more recent experiments on genetic alteration and extinction technologies, as well as bats and coronaviruses in proximity to China, have been largely left out of the narrative despite the information being publicly available. Also left out of the media narrative have been the direct ties of both the USAMRIID and DARPA-partnered Duke University to the city of Wuhan, including its Institute of Medical Virology. Though much about the origins of the coronavirus outbreak remains unknown, the U.S. military's ties to the aforementioned research, the U.S. military's ties to the aforementioned research studies and research institutions are worth detailing as such research, while justified in the name of national security, unquote, has the frightening potential to result in unintended yet world-altering consequences. One more time. Though much about the origin of the coronavirus outbreak remains unknown, the U.S. military's ties to the aforementioned research studies and research institutions are worth detailing as such research, while justified in the name of, quote, national security, unquote, has the frightening potential to result in unintended yet world-altering consequences. The lack of transparency about this research, such as DARPA's decision to classify its controversial genetic extinction research, and that technology's use as a weapon of war, compounds these concerns. One more time. The lack of transparency about this research, such as DARPA's decision The lack of transparency about this research, such as DARPA's decision to classify its controversial genetic extinction research and the technology's use as a weapon of war, compounds these concerns. While it is important to avoid reckless speculation as much as possible, it is the opinion of this author and that the information in this report is in the public interest and that readers should use this information to reach their own conclusions about the topics discussed herein. Well, amen to that, and I would add that Whitney Webb's research, and this is an incredibly important article, and again, I can't stress strongly enough that listeners use the article, use the written description for this show, which will be available shortly. There is a good presentation and highlighting of that article in a Food for Thought post on the left-hand side of the top of the SpitfireList.com website right now. I can't stress strongly enough that listeners use that information. I think, too, that the material that has been assembled, documented, and presented by Whitney Webb here needs to be evaluated against the background not only of the disturbing history of the use of biological warfare weapons by elements of our national security establishment, but in particular the history of the military-medical complex, to coin a term, that goes back really before World War II, but at the end of World War II, we took in some of the most heinous of the Third Reich's and the Japanese biological warfare practitioners and their program and put them to work for us, and that research has largely remained classified. In particular, next week, or in the two shows I will be recording next week, we are going to take a look at Leon Jaworski, the doctor's trial from Dachau, and some of the Nazi doctors who were incorporated into the U.S. medical and military establishment at the end of World War II, and in many ways helped to shape the template of that establishment in the post-World War II period. Bearing in mind that Japanese and German World War II / war criminal or war criminality incorporation into the military medical complex at the end of World War II, a number of things loom very large in the background, but really in the foreground of that research, such as eugenics, genetic engineering, ethno-specific biological weapons, and some truly frightening exterminationist potential. Reviewing some key aspects of the article, the Pentagon research, much of which remains classified, is into, among other things, bat-borne coronaviruses. The Pentagon's Defense Advanced Research Project Agency, or DARPA, began spending millions on such research in 2018, and some of those Pentagon-funded studies were conducted at known U.S. military bioweapons labs bordering China, and resulted in the discovery of dozens of new coronavirus strains as recently as last April. That would be April of 2019. Furthermore, the ties of the Pentagon's main biodefense lab to a virology institute in Wuhan, China, where the current outbreak is believed to have begun, have been unreported in English language media thus far. And skipping down in the article. For instance, DARPA spent $10 million on one project in 2018, quote, to unravel the complex causes of bat-borne viruses that have recently made the jump to humans, causing concern among global health officials, unquote. Another research project backed by both DARPA and the National Institutes of Health saw researchers at Colorado State University examine the coronavirus that causes Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS, in bats and camels. Quote, to understand the role of these hosts in transmitting disease to humans, unquote. For instance, one study conducted in southern China in 2018 resulted in the discovery of 89, quote, novel bat coronavirus, unquote, strains that use the same receptor as the coronavirus known as Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, or MERS. That study was jointly funded by the Chinese government's Ministry of Science and Technology, the U.S. Agency for International Development, or USAID, an organization long alleged to be a front for U.S. intelligence, and the U.S. National Institute of Health, which has collaborated with both the CIA and the Pentagon on infectious disease and bioweapons research. Much of that Pentagon/DARPA research has been at biological research facilities ringing both China and Russia. Again, quoting, one of those studies focused on bat-borne zoonotic disease emergence in Western Asia, unquote, and involved the Lugar Center in Georgia, identified by former Georgian government officials, the Russian government, and independent investigative journalist Biljana Gyantseva as a covert U.S. bioweapons lab. Another U.S. government-funded study that discovered still more strains of, quote, novel bat coronavirus, unquote, was published just last year. Titled Discovery and Characterization of Novel Bat Coronavirus Lineages from Kazakhstan, unquote, focused on, quote, the bat fauna of Central Asia, which link China to Eastern Europe, and the novel bat coronavirus lineages discovered during the study were found to be closely related to bat coronaviruses from China, France, Spain, and South Africa, suggesting that co-circulation of coronaviruses is common in multiple bat species with overlapping geographical distributions, unquote. In other words, the coronaviruses discovered in this study were identified in bat populations that migrate between China and Kazakhstan, among other countries, and is closely related to bat coronaviruses in several countries, including China. The Pentagon research is networked with Chinese research facilities in Wuhan, as mentioned above. Again, quoting, the U.S. Army's Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases' problematic record of safety at such facilities is a particular concern in light of the recent coronavirus outbreak in China. As this report will soon reveal, this is because USAMRIID has a decades-old and close partnership with the University of Wuhan's Institute of Medical Virology, which is located in the epicenter of the current outbreak. Duke University is jointly partnered with China's Wuhan University, which is based in the city where the current coronavirus outbreak began, which resulted in the opening of the China-based Duke Kunshan University, or DKU, in 2018. Notably, China's Wuhan University, in addition to its partnership with Duke, also includes a multi-lab institute of medical virology that has worked closely with the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases since the 1980s, according to its website. That's the last sentence again. Notably, China's Wuhan University, in addition to its partnership with Duke, also includes a multi-lab institute of medical virology that has worked closely with the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute for Infectious Diseases since the 1980s, according to its website, unquote. And I would note that the DARPA research has been into the DNA, among other things, of both Russian and Chinese populations. Again, quoting. Since the Pentagon began redesigning its policies and research towards a long war with Russia and China, the Russian military has accused the U.S. military of harvesting DNA from Russians as part of a covert bioweapon program, a charge that the Pentagon has adamantly denied. Major General Igor Kirillov, K-I-R-I-L-L-O-V, the head of the Russian military's Radiation, Chemical, and Biological Protection Unit, who made these claims, also asserted that the U.S. was developing such weapons in close proximity to Russian and Chinese borders. China has also accused the U.S. military of harvesting DNA from Chinese citizens with ill intentions, such as when 200,000 Chinese farmers were used in 12 genetic experiments without informed consent. Those experiments had been conducted by Harvard researchers as part of a U.S. government-funded project, unquote. And again, some of the research into gene driving, that is a biotechnological development that can permanently alter the genetic makeup of entire population groups and lead to the extinction of other genotypes or even population groups. Again, quoting from the article, concerns about Pentagon experiments with biological weapons have garnered renewed media attention, particularly after it was revealed in 2017 that DARPA was the top funder of the controversial gene drive technology, which has the power to permanently alter the genetics of entire populations while targeting others for extinction. At least two of DARPA's studies using this controversial technology were classified and, quote, focused on the potential military application of gene-driving technology and use of gene drives in agriculture, unquote, according to media reports. The revelation came after an organization called the ETC Group obtained over 1,000 emails on the military's interest in the technology as part of a Freedom of Information Act request. Co-director of the ETC Group, Jim Thomas, said that this technology may be used as a biological weapon. And quoting Mr. Thomas, gene drives are a powerful and dangerous new technology, and potential biological weapons could have disastrous impacts on peace, food security, and the environment, especially if misused. The fact that gene drive developments is now being primarily funded, the fact that gene drive development is now being primarily funded and structured by the U.S. military raises alarming questions about this entire field. One more time. Mr. Thomas's observations. Gene drives are a powerful and dangerous new technology, and potential biological weapons could have disastrous impacts on peace, food, security, and the environment, especially if misused. The fact that gene drive development is now being primarily funded and structured by the U.S. military raises alarming questions about this entire field. And as mentioned at the beginning, of the DARPA research is into overlapping technologies that manifest the philosophies of eugenics and ethnic cleansing. Again, quoting, in addition, one preliminary study on the coronavirus responsible for the current outbreak found that the receptor angiotensin-converting enzyme 2, or ACE2, is not only the same as that used by the SARS coronavirus, but that East Asians present a much higher ratio of lung cells that express that receptor than the other ethnicities, Caucasian and African American, included in the study. And skipping down. The U.S. Air Force published a document titled Biotechnology, Genetically Engineered Pathogens, unquote, which contains the following passage. Quote, the Jason Group, composed of academic scientists, served as technical advisors to the U.S. government. Their study generated six broad classes of genetically engineered pathogens that could pose serious threats to national security. Beginning again. Their study generated six broad classes of genetically engineered pathogens that could pose serious threats to society. These include but are not limited to primary biological weapons, designer genes, gene therapy as a weapon, stealth viruses, host-swapping diseases, and designer diseases. One more time. The study generated six broad classes of genetically engineered pathogens that could pose serious threats to society. These include but are not limited to primary biological weapons, designer genes, gene therapy as a weapon, stealth viruses, host-swapping diseases, and designer diseases. One of the most interesting, unquote, projects is the Pentagon or DARPA's use of insect allies. The research into the use of insect allies to supposedly provide crops with protection against pests and disease is a technological program that critics have charged masks an offensive biological warfare manifestation. Again, quoting from the article. The most recent example of this involved DARPA's Insect Allies program, which officially, quote, aims to protect the U.S. agricultural food supply by delivering protective genes to plants via insects, which are responsible for the transmission of most plant viruses, unquote, and to ensure, quote, food security in the event of a major threat, unquote, according to both DARPA and the media reports. However, a group of well-respected independent scientists revealed in a scathing analysis of the program that far from being a, quote, defensive, unquote, research project, the Insect Allies program was aimed at creating and delivering, quote, a new class of biological weapon, unquote. The scientists, writing in the journal Science and led by Richard Guy Reeves from the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Biology in Germany, warned that DARPA's program, quote, which uses insects as the vehicle for a horizontal genetic environmental genetic alteration agents, or HEGAS, H-E-G-A-A-S, all in capitals, revealed, quote, an intention to develop a means of delivery of HEGAS for offensive biological warfare purposes. And the Pentagon research, and this is one of the most important things in many of the research, including the gain of function research to supposedly preempt pandemics globally. The delineation between the distinction between offensive and defensive biological warfare research is essentially academic. If you are studying how we beasties infect things, whether plants, animals, or humans, and how they produce pathology, it is the same whether it's offensive and defensive. And I think, and apparently other people believe, and the author seems to conclude, to concur, that much of the research to prevent pandemics is actually offensive biological warfare research, again presented as defense against future epidemics or pandemics. And much of this research ostensibly, again, aimed at preventing pandemics, but very possibly masking preparations for offensive biological warfare research projects. Again, quoting from the article, many of these recent research projects are related to DARPA's Preventing Emerging Pathogenic Threats or PREEMPT program, which was officially announced in April of 2018. PREEMPT focuses specifically on animal reservoirs of disease, specifically bats, and DARPA even noted in its press release in the program that it, quote, is aware of biosafety and biosecurity sensitivities that could arise, unquote, due to the nature of the research. In addition, while both DARPA's PREEMPT program and the Pentagon's open interest in bats as bioweapons were announced in 2018, the U.S. military, specifically the Department of Defense's Cooperative Threat Reduction Program, began funding research involving bats and deadly pathogens, including the coronaviruses MERS and SARS, a year prior to that in 2017. Much of this DARPA/Pentagon research is heavily networked with U.S. health and medical infrastructures. Again, quoting. The second pharmaceutical company that was selected by CEPI to develop a vaccine for the new coronavirus is Moderna Incorporated, which will develop a vaccine for the novel coronavirus of concern in collaboration with the U.S. National Institutes of Health, and which will be funded entirely by CEPI. The vaccine in question, as opposed to Inovio's DNA vaccine, will be a messenger RNA or mRNA vaccine. Though different than a DNA vaccine, mRNA vaccines still use genetic material, quote, to direct the body's cells to produce intracellular membrane or secreted proteins, unquote. Moderna's mRNA treatments, including its mRNA vaccines, were largely developed using a $25 million grant from DARPA, and it often touts its strategic alliance with DARPA in press releases. And again, noting the links between DARPA research and the companies that have been selected to develop vaccines for COVID-19. Again, quoting, the very companies recently chosen to develop a vaccine to combat the coronavirus outbreak are themselves strategic allies of DARPA. For instance, the top funders of Inovio, I-N-O-V-I-O Pharmaceuticals, include both DARPA and the Pentagon's Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, and the company has received millions in dollars in grants from DARPA, including a $45 million grant to develop a vaccine for Ebola. Inovio specializes in the creation of DNA immunotherapies and DNA vaccines, which contain genetically engineered DNA that causes the cells of the recipient to produce an antigen and which can permanently alter a person's DNA. Inovio previously developed a DNA vaccine for the Zika virus, but to date, no DNA vaccine has been approved for use in humans in the U.S., in the United States, unquote. Inovio was also recently awarded over $8 million from the U.S. military to develop a small, portable intradermal device for delivering DNA vaccines jointly developed by Inovio and USAMRIID, unquote. And again, the DNA and mRNA or messenger RNA vaccines have not been used on humans, have not been approved for human use to date, but that may change. The research into vaccines that have not been used on humans and that use gene-altering manipulation that alarmed critics. Again, quoting, not only that, but these DARPA-backed companies are developing controversial DNA and mRNA vaccines for this particular coronavirus strain, a category of vaccine that has never previously been approved for human use in the U.S. Inovio's collaboration with the U.S. military in regards to DNA vaccines is nothing new, as their past efforts to develop a DNA vaccine for both Ebola and Marburg virus were also part of what Inovio's CEO, Dr. Joseph Kim, K-I-M, called, quote, its active biodefense program, unquote, that has, again, clothing garnered multiple grants from the Department of Defense, Defense Threat Reduction Agency, or DTRA, National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, or NIAID, and other government agencies, unquote. And again, much of this research crosses through or is located at or connected to the U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, located at Fort Detrick, Maryland. And as we noted in our last program and in the program before that, that facility was closed down in early August of 2019 by the Center for Disease Control for multiple safety violations. Again, quoting. The U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, or USAMRIID facility at Fort Detrick, Maryland, the U.S. military's lead laboratory for, quote, biological defense, unquote, research since the late 1960s, was forced to halt all research it was conducting with a series of deadly pathogens after the CDC found that it lacked, quote, sufficient systems in place to decontaminate wastewater, unquote, from its highest security labs, and failure of staff to follow safety procedures, among other lapses. The facility contains both Level 3 and Level 4 biosafety labs. While it is unknown if experiments involving coronaviruses were ongoing at the time, USAMRIID has recently been involved in research born out of the Pentagon's recent concern about the use of bats as bioweapons. And as we have seen, that is heavily involved with various coronaviruses, including viruses in and around both MERS and SARS, or similar to the MERS and SARS viruses. And last, again, the Pentagon research has been into the application of genetic engineering in order to create ethno-specific biological warfare weapons, and that was discussed in the now-defunct Project for a New American Century, or PMAC, although now disbanded. Many of its members have found a new professional life in the Trump administration. Again, quoting. In what is arguably the think tank's most controversial document titled Rebuilding America's Defenses, quote, there are a few passages that openly discuss the utility of bioweapons, including the following sentences, quote, combat will likely take place in new dimensions, in space, cyberspace, and perhaps the world of microbes. Advanced forms of biological warfare that can, quote, target, unquote, specific genotypes may transform biological warfare from the realm of terror to a politically useful tool. Well, yes, again. And again, earlier, again, according to the U.S. Air Force, published a document entitled Biotechnology, Genetically Engineered Pathogens, which contains the following passage. The Jason Group, composed of academic scientists, served as technical advisors to the U.S. government. Their study generated six broad classes of genetically engineered pathogens that could pose serious threats to society. These include but are not limited to primary biological weapons, designer genes, gene therapy as a weapon, stealth viruses, host-swapping diseases, and designer diseases. And again, that against the background of not only AIDS, which we have done a great deal of research on, including some of which was recapped in For the Record 1115, but against the background of Project Paperclip and the incorporation of much of both the German and Japanese biological warfare programs and the personnel and results of same into the U.S. biological warfare research program at the end of World War II, and they had much to do with shaping the template of that research. Again, some of the Pentagon research, I think, some of the DARPA research, in addition to weighing that against the background of the destabilization of China and the many aspects of that that we have spoken about, also the investing of people like J. Kyle Bass, asymmetric to the Chinese economy and the Hong Kong economy. In other words, if Hong Kong goes down, which it did, and if China's goes down, which it did, then J. Kyle Bass was invested asymmetrically to that. And he would not necessarily have had to have been invested in Chinese equities, but a great deal has gone down. And there are indications that he may have been invested with, co-invested with Tommy Hicks Jr., who has been at the epicenter of much of the coordination of interagency governmental networks to work against China. We're going to conclude by reading the conclusion to an article from Global Research Magazine or blog from March 4th of 2020 by Larry Romanoff, R-O-M-A-N-O-F-F. China's coronavirus, a shocking update. Did the virus originate in the U.S.? And there is discussion at the end of the article. In the past 2 years during the trade war, China has suffered several pandemics. February 15, 2018, H7N4 bird flu sickened at least 1,600 people in China and killed more than 600. Many chickens killed. China needs to purchase U.S. poultry products. June 2018, H7N9 bird flu. Many chickens killed. China needs to purchase U.S. poultry products. August 2018, outbreak of African swine flu, same strain as Russia, from Georgia. Millions of pigs killed. China needs to purchase U.S. pork products. May 24th, 2019, massive infestation of armyworms in 14 province-level regions in China, which destroy most food crops, quickly spread to more than 8,500 hectares of China's grain production. They produce astonishing numbers of eggs. China needs to purchase U.S. agricultural products, corn and soybeans. December of 2019, coronavirus appearance puts China's economy on hold. January of 2020, China is hit by a highly pathogenic strain of bird flu in Hunan province. Many chickens died, many others killed. China needs to purchase U.S. poultry products. Well, again, is some of that related, or all of that related to the multifaceted destabilization of China and to those projects that we have looked at and the various gain-of-function experiments with bird flu? What I call food for thought and grounds for further research. This concludes For the Record program number 1120, DARPA and the COVID-19 Outbreak Part 2, being recorded on March 12th of 2020. I'm Dave Emery. Have fun.